Shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Yishai Fleisher Show, broadcasting live from Jerusalem to the world, and you're a part of it wherever you are in Jerusalem right now. It's like the Baal Shem Tov says, wherever your mind is, wherever your thoughts are, that's where you are. So if you just put your thoughts right now into Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, you will be there. And I right now am sitting at my living room table, looking out at the Golden Dome that bespeckles the Temple Mount.
Where the speckles?
Preparing. I don't know. It adorns and beautifies and signals. Maybe it doesn't beautify. Maybe it awaits a greater day. In any case, that's what it is right now, but it is the holiest and most central spot in the world. That other voice that you just heard is our beloved, my wife, your show hostess with the mostest, co-hostess with the mostest, Malka Fleischer. Malka, welcome to the show.
Hi, Yishai. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. And today is a rushed show. I have to say it's been a very rushed week. Rabbi Mike Foyer was not able to join me. Our schedules just could not find harmony. And he's very busy, thank God. And this week has been insanely busy for me with tour groups.
Was it? Would you say it was bespeckled with tour groups?
It was bedeckled. Okay, it was quite it's been very busy, especially also since my New York Times article, the op-ed about the view, how settlers view the future of Israel, how settlers view on the future of Israel, and the five alternatives to the two-state solution. And after I got that published, with your help in editing and my mom's help in editing, after that, basically, like, there's been a tremendous flurry of activity, along, of course, with the fact that Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Trump started rolling back the two-state solution, walking it back a little bit.
I sure hope so. We'll see.
I'm not saying in practice. I'm saying in language and right. in diplomatic diplo-speak. Diplo talk. But in any case, it's been very busy. Lots of invitations to all kinds of stuff. Lots of media stuff. It's been very busy. But we're not going to forget our beloved listeners here on the Yishai Fleisher Show on the Land of Israel Network, thelandofisrael.com. Found at thelandofisrael.com and also yishaifleisher.com. And by the way, check out our brand new website. Both websites, thelandofisrael.com and yishaifleisher.com, have new websites. I also want to thank the good folks who help sponsor the show. Especially my friend Jack, who helps this show happen, and my friend Sarah, who makes this show happen, and their inspiration gives me a lot of koach.
Dr. Jeff,
from Australia, and my good friend.
Australia just got, did you see the video, Yishai? There was a viral video.
No.
Of Bibi Netanyahu being received into the synagogue there in, I think it was Sydney. And it was just a beautiful video of them clapping and cheering, and it was really, really beautiful. I was happy for Australia.
Wonderful.
It was a proud moment for
Australia
them.
Is a really good place to be. It's just a great country. And I also want to thank Ezra Levy, who gave recently a donation. Good friend of mine. Yeah, that's right. He went to YishaiFleisher.com and helped make it happen. That's
wow,
really great.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, and also... And our new website is working so nicely, Malka, that it's helping me understand exactly what's going on. And there's been more. I'll find it throughout the show. Recently, some more folks. Oh, here it is. There's more folks. Anyway, in any case, today I want to discuss a few things with you for the very short time that we have. Because I have to go give a big tour to the Im Tirtzu nationalist campus organization in Hebron, so we got to run and do that. You got to go do Step Up for Israel and all the great stuff that you're doing on the internet. I want to talk to you about Elora Azariah. The soldier who executed a downed terrorist. Terrorist had been down for some 7 minutes. Elora Azariah, for one reason or another, fires a weapon, very accurately, I may add, at the terrorist's head.
Good IDF training.
That's right, good IDF training. And he neutralizes... without any further
question marks.
That's right. This terrorist that had been down. The world was, there was a video released of this. This video
was... leftist organization.
Right. This anti-Israel organization captured this action, this footage. And basically a big kind of court proceeding ensued. It took, I don't know how long it's been.
A billion years.
Yeah,
it's been six months at least.
It's
been really capturing the attention of the country.
Right.
But I don't think, I mean, for him, that is not good, right? Because justice, you would hope that justice would be a little swifter. Right. But on the other side, there was something good about it because it let the country really chew over this issue of how much leeway should soldiers have vis-a-vis terrorists. There's no question, by the way, that this person was a terrorist, meaning to say he had already been shot one time for having stabbed a soldier in the neck.
Right.
So it's not like there was a big question mark. But nonetheless, he was definitely down, and he was, like, very, very down. But he had not. There's all kinds of procedure that has to go on with a terrorist before you can determine whether they're officially not dangerous anymore. There's been instances in which terrorists were downed, and then it turned out that they were wearing a suicide belt, or they had a gun in their pocket, or whatever. And because they weren't checked thoroughly, they managed to do more damage and hurt more people. So anyway, the question has been going on throughout Israel whether Alor Azariah is guilty of murder, whether he's guilty of manslaughter, whether even if he is guilty of manslaughter as an IDF soldier, he should be punished for what he did and how much the circumstances contributed. And in the end of the day, Alor Azariah got, well, the prosecution was asking for 3 to 5 years in jail for manslaughter. And he's already been in jail, you know, over the process of trial and things for about 6 months, I guess. But the courts found that he should be jailed for 18 months. That is the punishment that they meted out to him. What's interesting about Israel is that there's something called shlish in Israel, a third off of your sentence for good behavior. This goes across all kinds of crimes. And if you behave nicely in jail and do what they tell you to do and don't make trouble and go along with the program, then oftentimes a person will get a third off of their sentence. So Alor has been in jail now for about 6 months. If he behaves nicely, he'll get off another 6 months, which means that he may end up spending 6 months in jail, but maybe not even that, because there are a lot of Israeli politicians, particularly on the pro-Israel and nationalist camp, who are calling for him to get a complete pardon because he kind of symbolizes the war on terror and outrage against a kind of hands tying that happens to soldiers vis-a-vis terrorists, and a dangerous situation that soldiers are put in because of the bending over backwards that the IDF does to ensure the human rights of even the scummiest people on earth. So we'll see if he gets a pardon. Right now, it hasn't happened yet. It may not happen. Even if it doesn't happen, though, it may very well be that he just spends another half a year in jail and goes home.
Right. I think the story, though, is that there's been this public show trial. Every detail of the trial has been known to everybody in the international community, and everybody.
It was like Lahavdil, like making a big distinction, like the O.J. trial.
Right, it was an O.J. trial.
People watched it on TV.
Right, and in the end, what happened was that the courts got away with giving the barest minimum that they could. While meaning that there was a conviction, there was an outrage about that conviction by a lot of people, not everybody. Some people thought, and I know a lot of liberal American Jews who told me, you know, this is right, we're judging our own, and you see that we're a moral country, and we're not like other people, and we hold ourselves to a higher standard. And in the beginning, even the Prime Minister of Israel and other ministers were like, this is right, we can't have this kind of behavior, it's got to be judged. And there was a lot of recriminations and a lot of, like, moral posturing. But in the end, what happened was that the minute this show trial went public, the public went back at the show trial, meaning to say the public
had an opinion.
Had an opinion, and that opinion was heard loudly through social media and through even showing up at the trial and the demonstrations that they had at the trial. There was definitely a sense that the kind of common man rose up against this and said, hey, we don't want you to do a public show trial to our soldiers who are under attack. And we don't want you to weaken the next generation of soldiers. And that's why I said I had a liberal group yesterday from New Jersey, from a synagogue right next to the town that I lived in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we had a natural rapport, you know, us New Jerseyans. And they're from Franklin Lakes, and I'm from Wayne.
I've never heard of Franklin Lakes.
Franklin Lakes is really famous. Anyway, The point is that we had a great time, and I said to them, maybe you don't exactly understand what I'm saying right now. Here's how to figure it out. Put yourself in the shoes of a different mom, right? A mom of this soldier, and I pointed to this Ethiopian soldier. I mean, imagine her, and she's thinking to herself, I want my son to come back home safe. Like, when you're analyzing this out in America, you're analyzing it as a single incident in a kind of vacuum, in a kind of laboratory of incidents, and you're like, well, this should be done in this case. I'm not, now look here, you're right now standing in the same spot, and you see other soldiers that are here, and there's other moms and other families, and that, now think, what would it mean if this soldier would have a doubt whether he should shoot or not? What would this mom soldier want? Would she want Elora Zari to be convicted and thrown into jail and
treated harshly,
or do you want to win the battle and the battle and the war against against jihadism?
I think in the end of the day, look, I would have liked it if Elora had been acquitted. I won't lie, but at the same time, I have to say that I think the court did a not bad job in the end of the day in getting the message across on the right level, meaning to say the message is don't go nuts and shoot people because you decided to. But we understand the situation that a soldier is in, and we do have to fight the battle on terror. And this man has to be, he's also being demoted a little bit, but like just demoted, meaning to say he's still in.
He's a sergeant, and he's being demoted to private.
Right? So,
he's going to get a great shidduch out of this.
Yeah,
you know
he's
going to.
Yeah, I think he has a girlfriend, though. That's the truth. I did a little Googling. I think he has a girlfriend, but she must be feeling really good right now. But if that doesn't work out, God forbid, and I'm sure it will, but if it doesn't work out, then he can probably get married to any nice right-wing girl that he wants.
It ended right. It ended pretty good. And I personally was very happy about the fact that I think that the courts basically backed down in the face of the people. You got to remember, justice is not just some kind of like thing in the air. It's also where society is. Society sent a message saying justice.
Law and justice are for the society in which a person lives.
Right.
The people are supposed to decide. In a real democracy, if you care about democracy, the people are supposed to decide what the laws are. They send representatives up to government to make their wishes known about what the laws are going to be. So when
do you have any apple pie? For some reason, I want some apple pie suddenly. I don't know why that is. Anyway, great. So that's Elora Zaria. And it's so interesting how in Israel, like, things are so hot for a while, and then they suddenly, like...
No, it's like, Purim.
Yeah, it's
that's
over.
That's all
it's
that's
like,
going
it's
on. Like, By the way, I want to say that, Ishai, you'll be happy to know that prices for Purim this year are way cheaper than they were last year.
Oh, really? That is interesting.
I went costume shopping. First of all, the shops are, like, exploding, and I mean that in the non-Elora Zaria way. They are full of, like, awesome costumes, and they're, like, half the price that they were last year.
Nice.
I think the stores have figured it out.
Fantastic. Okay, great. That's good news. Moreover, you've gotten the wigs and the other things that the kids need for the Purim outfit.
We need it.
Maybe we need them to dress up like Elora Zaria or something like that.
I don't know. Although I bet you there will be people.
No. I don't think so. And by the way, I want to comment one more thing about Elora Zaria. I'm not sure. I do not think that he did the right thing. I mean, I don't think that you should shoot down terrorists.
He did not need to shoot.
Yeah, like me, I don't want it to be misunderstood. I don't think he should. My critique and criticism of this whole thing has been public show trial.
Right.
And hanging our own soldier. But I don't think that he should have shot that guy while he was downed. He certainly did not follow any protocol. That is obvious. Although at the same time, I think that we are in a field of battle, armed conflict, and laws of war pertain here and not laws of criminal justice.
You mentioned, Isha, that after Elora shot that terrorist, that there was a nice long lull in terrorism in Hebron.
That's right.
That after the Arabs saw this video that was taken by one of their own, that they were like, oh, we should not attack Jews.
Yeah, I found that other donation that I wanted to mention, which is from my friend Lando K. He is I think he controls a kind of world in the sky, a space station, and his name is Lando. No, that's somebody else altogether. Lando K is a listener to the show, and he is doing a great job at being part of it, and he gave what he could, and I really,
thank
really
appreciate
you. It. Yeah, thank you so much. And God bless you. And
it means a lot to us. You know, when people are sending in things, whatever it is, first of all, it does make a real difference in the ability to broadcast, to get new equipment, to reach out to new audiences. Mm-hmm. It makes a really big difference. And enables us to...
Papa needs a new recorder right now, okay?
Yeah, for example, yes, we use equipment, and thank God the equipment gets a good use, and after a while it wants to go to the equipment storage in the sky, and we need to get new equipment.
Yes.
So the point is, but you know what? What is even awesomer to me?
Yes.
Well, I mean, the actual quantity of money is great, but but what's awesome to me is just when somebody writes in and they're like, listen, here's... whatever it is, $18. Here's my $18. And I'm a working person, and Ishai's a working person. We know what it takes to get $18. It's not nothing. So we really appreciate just putting yourself out there and saying, like, I want to be a part of what you're doing.
Right. And I think the Land of Israel Network is doing great stuff. The new center that's being built. I think everybody should try to be a part of it as much as possible. It's an incredible thing. Hebron, the Hebron Fund, hebronfund.org. That's the people who are really holding on to the tombs of our fathers and mothers, all of us. And in general, I've learned that the whole money thing is it's a beautiful thing. I have learned to appreciate what it means that when people around the world donate to the story of Israel, they're really putting themselves into
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I think it's a moment of pride. And, you know, now that I'm a little bit older and I have a family, I understand a little bit more what money is. I just understand that money is part of, like, it's a way of really showing our love and connection to something. And there's it's much holier kind of today in my mind than it used to be when I was a younger man, you know. Any case, speaking of money, and Purim and all these progress of the stores here on the Mount of Olives, where we're sitting right now here in the Ishai Fleischer Show with Malka Fleischer as well. There's been a tremendous change, and it is you hear a lot about the Startup Nation, about the Innovation Nation. There's been an innovation here on the Mount of Olives and in the environs of the Old City of Jerusalem, places that are not so easy to live in. For Jews, they are mostly Arab neighborhoods, and traffic here is challenging, security here is challenging, access here is challenging.
So it's a little isolated sometimes.
Isolated sometimes. Even though it's very close to the heart of the world, it's also isolated. How ironic.
In terms of amenities.
Yes, by the way, speaking of funny little turns of the phrases, yesterday I said something. I said we were next to Marat HaMachpelah, the Tomb of the Fathers and Mothers, and they're building a new, like, building in front of it to, like, for the police and the army to check people as they go in. So I said, okay, folks, come in here, through here. This is being built right now. Our ancient history is a work in progress. I like that line.
Yeah,
did you like
that's
that?
Cool.
Our ancient history
that's
is a work
t-shirt.
In progress. Yeah. I like that.
I wish somebody would fund $5,000 worth of t-shirts for Hebron.
I think I know the person. And you who are
but
listening.
But with graphic design and all that stuff. We need a graphic designer to make some, like, hot
new tchotchkes.
Do
you like that phrase?
Yeah, I love it.
Our ancient history is a work in progress.
Did you write it down?
No.
Write it down.
I will.
You got to write it down.
I will. Can somebody write it for me? Write me an email. Just write me an email to Ishai.
No, to Ishai.
Yeah, Ishai at the... Whenever I say something really excellent and smart, just write me an email saying, you just said this excellent thing, note to you. Remember, by the way, when you write me an email to Ishai@thelandofisrael.com, please put in the subject line, I am a listener. I am a listener. I really appreciate that. Makes it easy to search through the magic of Google. Any case, as I was telling you before, a new company has arisen here that is helping us shop. We used to shop... you used to shop, Malka, by basically...
I'm the family grocery shopper.
That's right. That's right. You're like the family. You're the family everything, okay, Malka? And you used to shop by going out to the more normalized part of the city and drive some 45 minutes away.
Well, no.
40 minutes away? 30 minutes away?
No. It depends on the traffic. 30
minutes
on the traffic.
Easy 30
minutes. On the way home, it could be 30. Given the time of the day, it really makes an impact.
I'm
so on the way there, it's like 25 minutes, but on the way home, it's like 30 minutes.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we clarified that detail. Any case.
But let's say an hour altogether.
Okay.
An hour there and back. So that's an hour of driving.
Right. So that's an hour of driving and shopping itself, and used to do it
and
once a week.
Standing in the line.
Standing in line, bringing the stuff into the car, off the shelves, into your...
Right.
To the
so I would like
checkout.
To now I would like to honor all the grocery shoppers out there by explaining how much work it is to grocery shop. You got to get the stuff off the shelf
off
and
the shelf.
Put it in your cart.
In the cart.
You put it from your cart onto
on
the conveyor belt.
Conveyor belt.
You put it from the conveyor belt
to the cart.
Into the bag.
Bag.
Into the cart.
Into the cart.
Then you take the cart to your car. You put it in the car.
Cart the cart to the car.
Then you go from the car. In our case, we go from the car to a grocery cart because we have a parking lot. We can't go right into
from
the
car to
Like a cart or some kind of receptacle.
You
for
cart the cart up to the
up to the house. Yeah. Then you put it on the counter or on the floor or wherever you manage to find some room. Then you finally put it away. Do you understand how many times? That's like 7 times that you have to touch your grocery.
Right.
It's a lot
of
work.
Of times. That's right. Until it gets into my belly. Any case,
I honor you, grocery shoppers.
That's
of the
right.
World.
Well, now a new organization here in the periphery of the Mount of Olives has opened up an internet shopping site, and basically we get it delivered here,
into my house.
And it's like such a revolution. It's called the company's called Ha'atika.
Atika.
Ha'atika.
Well, it's Atika.net.
Okay, Atika.net.
But maybe it's Ha'atika. The truth is, I don't look at the little banner.
Atika.net. And this Atika.net, what they do, Atika means the old, but it means the old city. Everybody knows.
The Ir Atika. We
Ir
live
Atika.
Outside the Ir Atika, which is the old city of Jerusalem. And this company serves the I guess inside the old city and the environs outside, which are some places that a lot of grocery places don't want to go.
You say environs very good.
Thanks.
You say that well.
Environs.
Yeah, you say that well.
Around the so here we are on the Mount of Olives. There's also the city of David, the first Jerusalem, right? The original Jerusalem.
Right.
Anyone who's been on tour has maybe been to the amazing Ir David Visitor Center, and they're always doing incredible archaeology over there. But there's a whole Jewish community living out there, and Ir David is continuously acquiring properties from Arabs who get paid a lot of money and then have to be snuck out like in the middle of the night or some kind of crazy stuff so that they don't get murdered by their neighbors that they've lived with for 20 years as a response to selling to Jews. So this is like a humongous deal. Basically, I'm wearing my Jam Jams in the morning. I'm not getting in no car, not paying for no gas. In my jammies, I go to my computer. I order my groceries. I can click on whatever I want. Let's say I want peppers, right? I can get a kilo, which is 2.2 pounds of peppers, or I could write 0.5 kilos, right? I can write however much. Now, you have to sort of start to learn weights, which is kind
of
interesting.
Malka, most of our listeners know what it's like to have groceries delivered to their house.
Do they?
Oh, sure.
Is that a thing?
Oh, sure.
Everyone else in the real world
does
this?
Yes. It's not like you
don't
have to now
I don't know.
Explain to them the ins and outs of
grocery
shopping.
I don't know. Out in middle America, I don't know if people are having their groceries delivered.
Listen, the bottom.
But my point is that I can order all my stuff.
But these
almost
guys,
all my stuff,
these
and
guys
they,
are zipping
and they,
around in little
and they
vehicles.
Zip it around, and they bring it in a beautiful cardboard box, all nicely wrapped up with a nice little list. A big, humongous guy who is worth at least 2 yeshais worth of tallness walks into the house.
And he has got a huge beard, a tzitzit with like blue strings, and a Nirvana t-shirt.
Yeah, with like a flannel shirt. He's some kind of interesting mixture of Jew. And he's like, where do you want this? And I'm like, I just put it right here in the kitchen. And he walks it right into my kitchen, which means I touch my groceries a max of 2 times.
That is awesome. But what people, I don't know if you understand why we're talking about this.
And the prices are good, by the way. The prices are good.
Why I'm talking about this is because our life here around the old city of Jerusalem and this mission of holding on to this land has just gotten easier.
Way easier. Now, of course, you can borrow a milk from your neighbor and
stuff
like that. And, of course, you can go grocery shopping. And I still go to the grocery store now like once every 3 or 4 weeks I like to buy fresh chicken as opposed to frozen chicken and see what's in the store and, you know, do the whole shopping thing. But now it's just like, oh, we don't have bread. You still have to order 200 shekels worth of groceries, but it's just like I can do grocery shopping very, very easily.
Right. All right.
I save myself tons of time and money on gas.
God bless Ha'atika. God bless you, Jews who live around the old city. And thank you so much for making it easier. And God bless you, Malka, for having more conveniences so you could get more time to do great work of Kiddush Hashem and to strengthen the land of Israel and the presence of God in the land of Israel.
Amen.
That's good stuff. Let's just talk about 2 more things very quickly. One is that, folks, I don't know if you know this, but the young people, the millennials, they are not understanding why Jewish people have a right to a Jewish state, why we should fight for our land, and why the Palestinian cause is not the, they're not the underdogs, and that we are, A, not trying to trample anybody's rights, but we have to defend our own rights, and it's the other, the jihadists who are trying to trample rights, and it's they're the bad guys that we got to push back. I just took a group of kind of one of the Harvards of the Jewish girl seminaries here in Jerusalem. And folks, I'm starting to understand that the smarter you are, the more you are given these days to oppose Zionist and really, really subtly anti-Zionist narrative and milieu. We don't have a lot of time to talk about this right now, Malka, but I want to say that we will be dedicating more time to talking to millennials and helping them. Millennials have, they're not dumb. Not at all, but they have a different way that you need to be talking to them, and even this New York Times article that I read, which either angered, or made happy a lot of people around the world, but a lot of those people were 55 plus, folks that are super important to help them get on page, but it's like this stuff doesn't touch the 26 years old or the 19-year-old. It's not even on the radar screen. They're not reading that, the New York Times article. They're not seeing it. It's kind of impressive to them. But not more than that. We got to reach out to the young people and get them excited and turned on to the mission of the Jewish people, the continuing mission of Zionism.
Well, Yishai, you're saying this in a very positive way. I want to go Hungarian on it and say it in a negative way, which is that we are...
feel guilty that I didn't say it.
We are losing the next generation of kids who should have been the low-hanging fruit for the Zionist message, or for at least the pro-Israel message.
Mm-hmm.
The kids who you would think are the kids who love Israel are now kids who don't really love Israel. We're having an emergency.
Right.
That's what you're not really saying. There is an emergency. Yishai, just tell the story that this same seminary that the rabbi that you were, you thank God are very busy, and you wanted to say, not this time.
They asked me to do this tour for them on the Mount of Olives. I said, listen, I don't have time for this right now. I'm not touring seminary girls on the Mount of Olives. He said to me, fine, Yishai, just know that Shovrim Shtika, Breaking the Silence, Ir Amim, these organizations that are trying to create a completely
radical left organization.
Using the language of liberalism and all that. Are reaching out to our daughters, to our school, every day, asking to take them on a tour to fill them with their narrative. One diseased narrative, a tour with these guys, and that people
will
can buy
change
into,
their lives forever.
Will change their lives forever, and they'll always believe that settlers are bad, that Jews shouldn't be in Arab neighborhoods, that we're abusive, that we've stolen somebody else's land, that we're acting illegally and improperly, and so on and so forth.
Right. And it changes the course of history.
That's
these
it.
These are the kids.
And these are the thinking. These
right.
are the
these
are
the
these
smart
are
kids who are going to go on to be leaders in the Jewish community.
When he said this to me, I'm like, ding. I was just like, I got to do this. So I said, okay. And I did it. And then these two girls came up to me afterwards. They're like, we've been asking our seminary to please give us a quote-unquote right-wing speaker. All of the other five other speakers in a row were left-wing. Even the guy that they brought was right-wing, was really center. And nobody's been talking about our rights to the land. And this is a top seminary. Okay.
So basically, there's a situation in which there is a humongous vacuum for our message. And Yishai Fleischer is amazing, but he's also one guy. He cannot single-handedly save the Zionist message for every seminary and yeshiva in Yerushalayim or all over Israel or all over the world. He can't do it. Whereas these organizations are, have big staffs, big budgets, and they're gonna outrun us.
We are in a narrative war, friends. It's all about the narrative today. That's where we're at.
People
that's
who
where
care
the war
about
is.
Yeshivas and seminaries, I'm reaching out to you right now. You need to dig way deep into your pockets. I'm talking about stretch the envelope. You gotta there's gotta be something that rises up out of this stuff. There's gotta be $100,000 given to some kind of program that brings the message of Israel to yeshivas and seminaries.
Even the good organizations like Stand With Us, which is one of the best organizations, they're having a tour in Hebron on Monday, but in so many ways it's like a dual narrative tour where
With Us is an incredible organization, and they do social media like no one else is doing social media. I have oodles of respect for them. But their narrative is also like all the good people of the world type narrative. It's like good Arabs, good Jews, good people together. You know what I mean? Like, let's go like down with radicalism, down with, you know, like hate type of message, which is incredibly important. But it's not the same as the message of the Jewish right to the land of Israel, which is a very specific and important message.
All right. We'll be talking more about this. I want to hear from you, yishai@thelandofisrael.com, yishai@thelandofisrael.com. Write me an email. By the way, you can connect to me on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Jingle Jangle. That's a brand new social media that I just
came up
with.
I like that. You should
Jingle
that
Jangle. Okay. Finally, speaking of social media, let's just talk about the original media. That is when God wrote the Holy Book. And let us know about it. This Torah portion is so rich, and I didn't get a chance to speak with Rabbi Mike Ford this week, hopefully next week. I just want to read to you just a little bit, Malka. Chapter 23, verse 20, book of Shemot, or Exodus. Behold, I send an angel before you to protect you on the way and bring you to the place that I've made ready. Beware of him. Hearken to his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not forgive your willful sin, for my name is within him. That's about the leaders of Israel, the great leaders of Israel. For if you hearken to his voice and carry out that I shall speak, then I shall be the enemy of your enemies and persecute your persecutors. That sounds good. For my angel shall go before you and bring you to the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Canaanite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, and I will annihilate them. Bang. And you shall not prostrate yourself to their gods. You shall not worship them, and you shall not act according to their practices. Rather, you shall tear them apart. You shall smash their pillars. You shall smash their pillars. You shall serve Hashem, your God, and he will bless you, your bread and your water. And I shall remove illness from your midst. There shall be no woman who loses her young or is infertile in your land. I shall fill the number of your days. I shall send my fear before you, and I shall confound the entire people among whom you shall come, and I shall make all your enemies turn the back of their necks to you. I shall send the hornet's swarm before you, and it'll drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite,
Ooh,
the Hivite
before you. I
would like
to witness that. That would be good.
That's the F-16 squadrons, Malka. I shall not drive them away from you in a single year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field will multiply against you. Little by little, I shall drive them away from you until you become fruitful and make the land your heritage. I shall set your borders from the Sea of Reeds to the Sea of the Philistines, from the wilderness until the river. For I shall deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them away from before you. You shall not seal a covenant with them or their God. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they cause you to sin against me, and you shall worship, that you shall worship their gods, for it will be a snare for you. That's the basic thoughts of the Torah about the seven nations that were here beforehand. There's much discussion about if the people that we're dealing with today are part of the seven nations. Most people say not. Still, though, there are many who say that the Philistines of yesteryear are in the Palestinians of today are acting Palestinianism, not individual Palestinians, but Palestinianism is acting in the same way, trying to undermine.
What's the difference?
The difference is that these people might be Ishmaelites and they have a different status in halacha. But
what's
in
the different status?
The different status is that you just get rid of Philistines altogether. Here, you know, you have a chance to turn them into a ger toshav, into a resident.
So Ishmaelites
alien.
Can be rehabilitated, basically.
They can be rehabilitated, but there's a lot of discussion about that. But my point is this: if you don't, let's not drill it all the way down to technically who's who and what's what. Bad guys. They can't exist with us. We got to push back on bad guys. Holy places, they're ours to keep holy. And here's what God says. Hey, Jews, when you live in other people's lands, don't talk to them about their idolatry and their other things. It's their business. You're a guest in their land. But when you come back to your land, I want you to carve out a little tiny place in this world, a little New Jersey-sized tiny place in this world, and I want you to make it a home for me. That's all I'm asking for in this big world. In this big universe, I just want a New Jersey-sized home in the land of Israel. Make it pure and holy for me. Give me a seat. Give me a place to rest. And believe me, the light will shine out of this place like you've never seen before. Just give me that tiny little bit. That's exactly why the forces of darkness are so against what's happening here in Israel and in Jerusalem and in Hebron. And that's the fight that we're having here. If you think that's too, you know, That's the Torah. That's what it's trying to tell us. That's the vision. That's the great vision that we're upon. And the fight here is, you know, you can read it on the political level. You can read it on the you know, action level. But there's a big, big, deep thing that's happening here. And we're all part of an amazing project. My friends, do not succumb to the idea that this project is not so important, that it's not a big deal, and that, you know, okay, Israel exists, and now, you know, everything is in harmony and in balance, and it's good enough. No, no, no. There's something much, much bigger here. There's a process happening here, and we're part of it. So, as always, I like to finish off by saying, get excited about it. Get excited about it. Don't be scared. Don't be assuaged. Don't be bourgeois. Don't be apathetic. If you've listened to this part of the show already, if you're listening to this end, that means you're part of something amazing and great. I want your excitement, your heat. You got to be hot about it. You got to be hot about Israel. And that's something that I've learned from Lubavitch, from Chabad. One of the things that they say about the turning the Nile into blood is like the Nile's cold. And the signal there is serve Hashem in hot blood. Serve Hashem with heat. Serve Him in heat. That's why Hashem shows Moses things that he doesn't understand in fire. Serve Him in heat, in excitement, in fire. Live this life in fire. Don't live it cold. Live it with passion. That's exactly what it's all about. Folks, write me an email, yishai@thelandofisrael.com, yishai@thelandofisrael.com. Connect in any other kind of way. Connect to the story of God. Look at the book of Exodus. Not just the splitting of the Red Sea, but everything that's after it as well. Malka Fleischer, thank you so much for splitting the Red Sea and keeping this family together and helping us have deep roots here in the land of Israel. I want to bless you, Malka, with deep roots.
Amen.
Deep roots
Amen.
In the land of Israel.
To me and all of Am Yisrael.
Oh, mine. And you should continue to be healthy, strong, and well. Thank you so much for co-hosting today.
Thank you.
Bless you, folks, wherever you are. Also, the Michel family, I want to thank you so much for your support. And my friend Donnie here in Jerusalem. All the good folks that are making the show happen. Thank you. Thank you to the Land of Israel Network. And thank you to God Almighty for giving us this opportunity to sit before Him, to stand before Him, and to serve Him in heat. God bless you wherever you are. Malka Fleischer, Shabbat Shalom, and thanks.
Shabbat Shalom.
And stay tuned. More great stuff's on the way. And Shalom. Blessings.